Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're taking the temperature of the Eurozone, 5 years after Mario Draghi's pivotal speech in which he pledged to do whatever it takes to save the Euro from a sovereign debt crisis. Our experts will gauge the pace of change in the interim and ask what still needs to be done. We'll consider whether or not current Eurozone unemployment, up close to 10%, and the Euro's value, still below its level of 5 years ago, don't accurately reflect the real progress that's been made since 2012. We'll follow this up by asking what the key drivers are for the Eurozone's ongoing economic momentum and how rosy or not the picture is looking further ahead. We start with Paul Donovan, Global Chief Economist at UBS Wealth Management. So, it's 5 years and change since Draghi's speech about saving the euro from crisis. Did he do whatever it takes? And did it work?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that the euro is still with us is indicative of the fact that it worked. This was whatever it takes to save the euro, and the euro is still here, and it still has the same number of countries in it, and so on. So, in that sense, yes, I think it did work. To the extent that there was an expectation that this was going to kickstart dramatic changes in the structure of the euro, dramatic changes in the eurozone economy, then no, that hasn't happened. But frankly, that was never likely to happen as part of this process.
There was this almost existential crisis, which has been met. But how would Chris Swan, cross-asset strategist at UBS, assess the progress since?
I guess you can look at it from the glass half empty or the glass half full angle. Like start off with the glass half empty, and the eurozone still isn't back to full strength to the extent that unemployment levels are still relatively high, over 9%, and that's much higher than around the 7% levels that prevailed, that the lows reached before the sovereign debt crisis. We obviously still have interest rates that are set at emergency levels that reflect continued fragility, and so obviously not all of the Eurozone's problems have been resolved. But then shifting to the glass half full perspective, the Eurozone was in pretty dire straits back in 2011 and 2012. And you had like Italian and Spanish bond yields at sky high levels, a really sort of massive gap with German bond yields. And what that reflected was the threat that these countries might sort of splinter off as a result of some of the sovereign debt problems. Now those spreads are way back in. So the Spanish and Italian 10-year bonds hit a peak of 7.1% and 5.3% respectively. That's now down to 1.5% and 2%, so much more respectable levels. The unemployment rate has come down pretty significantly. Also, if you look at the level of financial stress, we recently passed a very significant milestone with the Greek government issuing bonds for the first time in 3 years. Obviously, Greece was right at the heart of the sovereign debt crisis and the most vulnerable of the nations and looked at certain points to be in danger of slipping out of the eurozone. And then the eurozone's economy, as I mentioned, unemployment, but business sentiment is riding really high. The German IFO sentiment, which probably the most watched in the eurozone, has hit a record high. And Spain's unemployment has fallen to an 8-year low. So there's really good economic momentum.
We'll return to this analysis of economic momentum in a moment. But first, here's Patrick Riff, investment strategist with the Global Asset Allocation Team at UBS CIO. 5 years on, has Draghi's bid been a success? Or is there much more nuance than that?
I would call it a success. If we look at where we are now compared to where we were 5 years ago, the Eurozone economy is growing at its fastest clip in 7 years. Unemployment is at its lowest in over 8 years. And the indicators of market stress and euro breakup fears have really been from very elevated levels down to also subdued levels. So if we elaborate a little bit on the growth picture, maybe around the time of Draghi's speech, the EMU economy was contracting at a clip of 1% year on year, while currently we stand at around 2.1% growth year on year. So possibly even above potential. And if we compare that, for example, if we compare the latest figure we get from the EMU with the US, we basically grow at the same rate as the US does. So it's certainly been a success compared to where we are coming from. It's not been a perfectly smooth ride throughout these 5 years. You will remember the debt crisis in Greece that has continued to flare up here and there, then the political worries around the strengthening of the populist parties all over Europe, both on the right and the left, the Italian banking worries, then we have Brexit and so on. But I would certainly summarize it as a successful path since then.
Yeah, let's drill down into that in a bit more detail, Patrick. And it's interesting, you mentioned Greece there, and we had, what, just in the last couple of weeks, the Greek government issuing its first bond in 3 years. We go to Germany, you have the IFO, the Business Sentiment Index, hitting record highs, unemployment falling, still close to 10% across the Eurozone, but falling. What does this tell us about the broader economic momentum of the Eurozone? Is there plenty to be confident about as we look into the medium term?
Yes, I would think so. So momentum is quite strong, I would say, in the Eurozone now, as evidenced by the growth, by the fact that the Eurozone has added, since Draghi's speech, over 5 million jobs. We have the stock market, since the Eurostox has gained over 45% over these 5 years. And we do see momentum very strong, as evidenced by the measures you've just mentioned. We do, however, our economists do expect that this momentum is slowing just slightly over the next 6 months, over our tactical horizon. We expect growth to remain resilient, but lose some of its steam as the euro strengthens, as the anticipated rise in the oil price bites a little bit into consumption, and as the effectiveness of monetary policy is also diminishing a little bit.
So we've heard some insights into the pace of progress since Draghi's 2012 address, but might that very pace of change be in some way less relevant than other things that recent economic data tell us? For example, 10-year bond yields being down in markets like Spain and Italy. Paul Donovan, again.
Certainly, I think the scale of the policy, 1.2 trillion euros worth of assets purchased, has provided considerable support to bond markets. And of course, what the combination of quantitative policy and regulation has done is effectively serve as a tax on saving, which has gone to the benefit of Eurozone governments at a very difficult fiscal time. So in that sense, yes, the policy has achieved a great deal. However, we do need to recognize that the current growth in the Eurozone is probably as good as it gets. And as we go into 2018, growth will moderate back towards what is a fairly slow trend level of maybe 0.8, 0.9% year over year. We also have to recognize that structurally, the euro is still a currency that does not work. We don't have fiscal confederation. We don't have banking union. And without those, there is a risk that we run into more and more crises in the future. So having overcome the immediate crisis that was presented 5 years ago, the existential crisis of the euro, I think that the ECB's next task is to try and turn the euro into a currency that is actually going to function over the medium term.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at economic momentum across the Eurozone and ponder how firms in the region might fare in the face of a rising euro. To Chris Swan next. We asked him, is the present economic momentum in the Eurozone robust enough to continue to be supportive to the euro and indeed to Eurozone equities?
We wouldn't expect the Eurozone growth to continue at quite this rate, so it should slow down to sort of a trend rate of closer to 1%, running around 1.7% or thereabouts at the moment. Even a return to the trend rate of growth as the output gap in the Eurozone slows is supportive for the euro to the extent that it makes the extraordinary levels of monetary easing, of quantitative easing that we've seen from the European Central Bank, not justified indefinitely. And so our expectation is that the European Central Bank is preparing the market for a reduction in the scale of quantitative easing, that is bond purchases. And we would expect that through 2018 that they'll slow the purchases of government bonds.
What does Paul Donovan make of the same question regarding economic momentum for the Eurozone? It looks pretty good, but is it set fair to support a strengthening currency?
Well, I think the euro as a currency is still relatively weak. Certainly against the dollar, it's weaker than fair value. Now, currencies never trade at fair value, so we shouldn't use that just as a reason to get a stronger euro. But I think that the dollar, from a very overbought position, has been correcting. The relative improvement in the eurozone economy and the reduction of immediate risks associated with that has combined, I think, to provide some further support to the euro. And yes, I think the euro is going to strengthen somewhat further as a currency over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. I don't think we're going to see dramatic changes. I don't think we're going to see changes on a scale that would have major economic repercussions, but a move to 120, maybe even a little bit stronger on the euro-dollar exchange rate, I think is a very plausible assumption.
So there seem to be plenty of positives, but what remains to be done for Mario Draghi et al? Well, inflation is definitely a number one priority, according to Patrick Riff.
We're certainly not anymore in this deflationary environment that we were 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. As Draghi himself mentioned at the last press conference, inflation has stabilized, but there's no convincing and sustainable upward pressure really on inflation. So I think that's Draghi's number one priority. And the labor market, while we have a very strong improvement in the labor markets over recent years, some of it has also been less than ideal, I would say, in terms of rather than looking at the unemployment rate, you look at the underemployment rate. We still see that this is elevated and this is above the level it has been pre-crisis. Many of the jobs that have been created are more on the, I would say, lower productivity, lower pay side. Some of them are part-time jobs or just temporary jobs, so the quality of jobs could improve as well.
And Patrick also has a thought that's relevant on the investment side. He explains more on the Eurozone equities position.
We as UBS CIO, we still have an overweight position in Eurozone equities on a relative basis versus UK equities. And we do so because we think that Eurozone equities are still supported by a continued improvement in the earnings growth dynamics as the companies in the Eurozone are benefiting from this firming domestic economy and from their higher exposure to the global growth cycle. So this synchronized improvement in global growth that we are seeing, while on a relative basis, the UK will profit a little less from this cyclical uptrend.
Finally on the programme, let's look into the medium and perhaps even the longer term. If the euro does regain strength, can firms in the region cope with those new levels?
We're talking about a currency that, even with another 5% move, would still be fundamentally a relatively weak currency against fair value. Frankly, if a company in the eurozone cannot cope with that sort of level of the euro, that company shouldn't be in business anymore. What we are talking about is perfectly normal currency moves and perfectly normal levels of the euro over the course of a reasonable economic cycle. So I think companies should be able to cope with the sort of moves that we're seeing. Of course, exporters will complain about the stronger euro. Exporters always complain when their currencies strengthen, but that doesn't mean that we should pay them any attention.
If the euro heads up, even only to 120-ish kind of levels, can firms in the region cope, in Chris Swan's view?
Obviously, we've already seen considerable rise in the euro versus the dollar and on a trade-weighted basis. So just a month ago, the euro was trading at around 113. It's now like closer to 118. That's a very substantial and rapid appreciation. We believe that the bulk of that move is probably over, and our 12-month forecast is 120. Eurozone firms have the European stocks have definitely felt a little pressure from that. So while the S&P 500 stocks have climbed further into record territory along with the Nasdaq on the US side, Eurozone firms, the Eurostoxx 50 and 600 indices are somewhat off the peaks that they hit earlier in the spring. I think there are reasons to feel optimistic about European stocks. We've got very strong domestic demand from the Eurozone itself. We're also seeing a maturing sort of mid-cycle recovery for the global economy. So much of the drag that you'll see from a rising currency should be offset by stronger global demand or solid global demand for Eurozone exports. And we've seen that in a continued rise in German export figures.
And on the euro specifically, it remains below its level of 5 years ago of 122, but now it's rising closer to that mark. Does Patrick Riff think that the region's firms can cope if the trajectory continues?
The eurozone, with its focus on export growth, will never profit from a rising euro, but so far firms have actually been dealing with the increase in the euro quite well. And I would say that as long as the domestic economy really keeps growing and adds to earnings for these firms, I think they can continue to cope with a level of 120, which is about what our FX strategists forecast over the next 12 months or so. You have to remember that the euro is still, versus the dollar, below what we call a purchasing power parity, so a fair value of where euro-dollar should be, which we see at around 125.
And that's Patrick Riff bringing us to the end of this 148th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.